God's word should not be a mystery to us. God's word has been given to us as a revelation of himself for us and for our benefit, so that we can get to know God. This series, which we're starting in the book of 2 Peter, I'd love for us to see together as we travel through this book that there is an emphasis here on growth, on growing in grace, growing in our knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. And we're going to do that through immersing ourselves in his word, which is a mystery, but God makes it clear to us, right? And we can grow as we spend time in God's word. And we have an opportunity to do that this very morning. So I see we do have a visitor with us. Welcome. Let me just add my welcome to that of Paul's earlier on. We're so happy you can join us today. Before we get into God's word, please won't you bow with me as we pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for your word. Thank you that your word has been read for us here in a language that we can understand. Father, however, we do understand that we need your help to understand it properly. And we ask for your help, Lord, that we may understand your word. Please make it clear to us. Make it clear to us also what we should do in response to your word this morning. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Have you ever found yourself wishing that God would make himself known to you more, that he would reveal himself to you more? I know some people feel that God seems distant. He's not as close to us as we experienced him in our early walk with Jesus. When we first encountered Jesus, we might have experienced God's presence a lot closer than maybe you do today. And sometimes you might be wishing, I wish God felt closer to me. I wish I could experience my walk with Jesus, experience Jesus closer to me. I don't know if that's your experience. Today, I would love for you to learn that as we grow in our walk with the Lord, we grow closer to him as we spend time in his word. In his word. And I think that's one of the things that Peter also wants to highlight to the people in this book. Do you have a desire to know God more? I want to ask you another question. Are you spending time daily in God's word? Are you spending time reading the Bible? God's word is his revelation of himself to us. God wants to be known, and that's why he's given us his word, the Bible. And it doesn't matter how old you are or how young you are, whether you've been to school yet or you haven't been to school. Whether you're a doctor in theology or whether you're just starting school in grade one. It doesn't matter your level of education. God's word will reveal something about God to you where you are in your level of understanding. God's word is so rich and yet it is also so profound and so simple that we can understand something about God. Peter wants us to know this God, and he wants us to know God through his word. And we're going to discover that as we go through the book of Peter. Now, let's just quickly understand a little bit about the book of Peter. Peter is asking, it starts off, look with me in verse number two. It's a blessing that Peter prays. May grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus. This is a blessing that Peter is praying for the people. May grace be multiplied to you. May grace and peace be multiplied to you. May this grace and peace be multiplied to you through the knowledge of God. And here is a blessing, and this is actually what I think is an emphasis in this book, because we find it also at the end of the book. If you go to the last verse in the book, actually, we'll find it again there. Verse 18, chapter 3, verse 18. Here we find it in the sense of instruction. Grow. Grow in the grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So we see there is this emphasis on growing, growing in grace and also growing in knowledge. You know, coming back to 1 Peter chapter 1, verse number 2, it says, grow in grace and peace. Grow in grace and peace. How is it that we can get peace from God? How is that even possible? That we as sinners can get peace from God? Well, it's because of His grace. His grace. So grace and peace are intrinsically linked to one another. The grace and the peace. What is grace? Well, grace has been described as God's riches at Christ's expense. We get all the blessings of God, the blessings of heaven, the blessings of eternal life, the blessings of knowing God, the blessings that are all available in heaven. We get that through Christ and His expense. What Christ has done for us on the cross. That's grace. Grace. And in this book, we find a lot of list of grace that has occurred. I can see this thing is advancing without me. We don't normally have this computer on this podium here, but anyway, I have it here today. So I'm also growing in my capacity to preach with a computer on this on this podium. God's riches. In this book, there is so much of grace has already been given in this book. Look with me to 1 verse 1. There is an instance of God's grace to those who have obtained a faith, those who have got something, those who have received what? You've received a faith. This is an instance of God's grace. Right? Verse 3. Look at verse 3. His divine power has granted to us all things that pertain to life and godliness. This is what God has given. God's riches at Christ's expense. Look at verse 4. He has granted to us His precious and very great promises. This is God's riches at Christ's expense. Why? Verse 4 continues, that you may become a partaker in the divine nature. Wow, isn't that beautiful? This is God's grace, God's riches at Christ's expense. Look at verse 9 with me as we go through quickly to see all these many things that we gain through God's grace. Verse 9. Whoever lacks these qualities is nearsighted, having forgotten that he was cleansed from his former sins. Cleansed from former sins. That's beautiful. That's something God gives us by His grace. Verse 11. There will be richly provided for you an entrance into the eternal kingdom of our Lord. This is God's grace. God is giving us things. It goes on. Verse 12. You are established in the truth. You've been given the truth. Verse 16. We made known to you the power and coming of Jesus. This is linked to the truth which you received. This is a grace which you have received. Verse 19. We have received the prophetic word even more fully confirmed. So this whole book is filled with various mentions of God's grace, which we receive at Christ's expense. And the author of this book tells us that we should grow. Verse 2 of chapter 1 says, may grace be multiplied to you. Chapter 3 verse 18 says, grow in grace. So this is something that we need to grow in. It's not something that we just receive and we stay there. No, we've got to grow. It needs to be multiplied. So God's got so much goodness for you to be discovered through your walk with Christ. Don't just think what you've received right now is all God's got in store. No, there's more. You're going to grow in that grace. We also grow in knowledge. And this is an important thing in the book of 2 Peter, which we're going to discover as we go through this series. Knowledge and what you know and what you also refuse to know. We're going to find some false teaching in this book, which Peter wants to warn the people about. Because this false teaching is going to distract from the truth. It's going to distract from what you already know. And it's going to introduce lies and heresies, which are going to be bad for you. And it's actually going to take you away from God's grace. So knowledge is important in this book. And what you know is important. All right. I want to also talk a little bit about Peter, the author of this book, and where he was when he wrote the book. Verse 1 of the book, chapter 1, verse 1, tells us it is Simon Peter. Simon Peter wrote this book. He wrote from Rome, is what we know from history. He was very likely in Rome, Simon Peter. And he was writing to the church in Asia Minor, Pontus, Cappadocia, Phrygia. How do we know this? Well, because of his first letter. His first letter starts that way. If you just turn back a couple of pages to 1 Peter chapter 1, his first letter starts off saying, to those who are elect exiles of the dispersion in Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia. And that's pretty much the region which we see on the map shown on the screen behind me. I would even extend that circle to include Corinth, because we know even there Peter had effective ministry. But this is the people to whom Peter is writing. And what I'd love for us to see, actually, Peter describes himself in 2 Peter chapter 1 as a servant and apostle of Jesus Christ. And as Peter is the author, it's good for us to actually look a little bit about how he grew in grace and knowledge himself. He is the one who is writing the letter, and he is asking his people to grow in grace and knowledge. But Peter himself is somebody who grew in grace and knowledge. I don't know where you are today in your walk with the Lord, but I hope you're growing. You know, Peter, when Jesus found the Apostle Peter, he was a fisherman. He was a fisherman, and I don't know if you can remember back to the first encounter, the miraculous catch of fish, right? When Peter had fished all night, and Jesus came and started preaching on his boat, because it's a large crowd, and then Jesus said to him, let's go fishing. Cast your nets out into the deep and let's go fishing. And Peter, you know, he was like, but Lord, we've been fishing all night, but because you say so, I'm going to do it. And Peter throws his net and he catches a huge catch of fish. And it's right there and then that Peter has this encounter with Jesus, which he realizes this Jesus must be God. Because he says to Jesus, get away from me, Lord. I'm a sinner. I'm a sinful man. I don't deserve to be in your presence. Peter had come to know something about Jesus right there and then. But that was just the start of his journey. I don't know about you in your walk with the Lord. Have you come to that point where you realize you're a sinner and Jesus is the only Savior and Jesus is the Master? Like Peter, that's the start of your journey. But Peter's journey, having started there, we walk with him through the Gospels, and we can see how he grew, how Peter grew in his knowledge of Jesus, in the grace that was given to him. Later on in the book of Mark, we see that Jesus asked Peter, who do people say I am? And some people say, well, you're Elijah. Some people say you're the prophet, says Peter. But Jesus says, but what about you? Who do you say I am? And Peter says, well, you are the Christ. See, Peter is growing in his knowledge of who Jesus is. We also know Peter was one of those taken up onto the mountain of transfiguration, and he saw Jesus in his glory, and we discover that even Peter mentions that very thing in this book, in chapter 1, where he was up on the mountain and he heard the voice of God, saying, "This is my beloved son." Peter was there when that happened. He was growing in his knowledge, growing in grace. But Peter was also the one to whom Jesus said, "Get behind me, Satan," when Peter misunderstood who Jesus is and tried to stop Jesus from going to the cross. We can see Peter still had to grow in his knowledge. He hadn't reached yet. Peter was also the one who denied Jesus on the night he was betrayed and crucified. Peter was the one who said, "I don't know this man. I don't know him." I don't know if you've been in a place like that, brother, sister, where you've started your journey with the Lord and you've been growing in your journey of the Lord, but somewhere along the line, you, like Peter also, make a tragic error and you say, "I don't know this Jesus." That's not the end of the story for Peter, because he was growing. He was on a journey of growth. Peter, later on, you know, Jesus also said of Peter, "Peter, you are the rock. And on this rock, I will build my church." It's a powerful thing to say of Peter. And Peter actually was a pillar in the church. Peter was also the one whom, after Jesus had died and after he had resurrected, on the few days where Jesus was making appearances to people, specific people, Jesus appeared to Peter while Peter was fishing again. In John chapter 21, we read that story where Peter, Jesus said of Peter, "Do you love me?" He said, "Yes, Lord, you know I love you." This is after he had betrayed Jesus, eh? Jesus asked him again, "Do you love me?" He said, "Lord, of course you know I love you." Jesus asked him a third time, "Do you love me?" And Peter said, "Lord, you know, I love you." And each time Jesus said, "Well, feed my sheep. Feed my sheep." Peter was growing, not only in his knowledge of God, but also in God's grace. God was giving him now a responsibility to feed his sheep, to feed his people. Peter grew in grace and knowledge. Peter was a powerful preacher. We find Peter at Pentecost, where Peter was preaching. And in fact, I'll go back to this map. This map actually shows all the places in Pentecost, all different people from different regions of the known world at that time had been at Pentecost, where Peter was preaching. And Peter first proclaimed the resurrection of Jesus at Pentecost. Peter was a powerful preacher. Many people who got saved through Peter's preaching on that first Pentecost went back to those cities and planted churches. And that's very likely where some of these churches that are mentioned in 1 Peter chapter 1, which is the same people to whom Peter is writing in 2 Peter, it is very likely this is the same people he is writing to here. Some of these churches, all right? Peter grew in his grace. Peter grew in his knowledge. Peter was a powerful preacher. Peter was a preacher to Samaria. He was the first preacher to preach to Gentiles. He was the first preacher to preach to Cornelius, right? We know Paul is known as the apostle to the Gentiles, but Peter actually is also an apostle to the Gentiles, because he also preached to the Gentiles. We find him even in Acts 15 defending that the gospel should go to the Gentiles at the first council. And when a letter was written from all the elders in Jerusalem, Peter was there. He was part of the council who said the Gentiles must be welcomed into the kingdom of God. We know Peter ministered in Corinth, because in Paul, in his letters to the Corinthians, he said, you guys are divided. You say, I follow Apollos, I follow Paul, I follow Peter. Peter had obviously done ministry even there. And we know that Peter did ministry in this region, because at the end of 1 Peter chapter 5, look at 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 1. He's writing to the same people in his first letter, and as he's ending off, he says, I exhort the elders among you as a fellow elder. A fellow elder. You see that? Peter was somebody who was an elder amongst those churches. And he's asking them to be shepherds of God's flock, is what he's asking them to do. Look at verse 2. Shepherd the flock. Look after the flock. What Peter is actually saying is, I'm an elder, you're an elder, we're all shepherds here. We need to shepherd the flock. We need to feed the flock. Jesus said, feed my lambs. What are we feeding? Is it grass? Is it bread? No. The feeding we're giving is God's word, the truth. Feed the people the truth. And so Peter here at the end of his life, and I say it's the end of his life because we can see in the book of 2 Peter, the one we're studying here, that Peter says that he is about to die. Look at verse 14 or verse 13. I think it's right, as long as I'm in the body, to stir you up by way of reminder. Verse 14. Since I know that the putting off of my body will be soon. The putting off my body will be soon. Peter knows he's about to die. And he wants to write to the people to whom he has been ministering before. Look at verse 16 of chapter 1. We did not follow cleverly devised myths when we did what? When we made known to you the power and coming of Jesus. Peter was there. Peter preached. Peter ministered and made known to them. Peter grew in the knowledge and grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Peter, we find in 2 Peter 1, Verse 1 describes himself as a servant or a slave and an apostle of Jesus Christ. We've just described some of the ways where he was an apostle. I want us to move on and look to the next part of that verse. To those who have obtained a faith of equal standing with ours, by the righteousness of our God and Jesus Christ, our Savior. The readers, those to whom this letter was addressed, I want us to see that they themselves also grew in grace and knowledge. I want you to look with me at that word, obtained. Your Bible might say received. To those who have obtained, or those who have received. Received what? Received the faith. To those who have received a faith. That's a very, very interesting thing. The Bible teaches us that faith is a gift. Faith is not something that we possess and something that we give to God. No, something that God gives to us. God enables faith. And here we see it. To those who have obtained a faith. The word that is used here in the original language is a word which actually implies divine will is part of the giving. It is a word which is used in the casting of lots. For example, in Luke chapter 1, verse 9, when we're told that Zechariah was chosen by lots to serve in the temple as the high priest, that is the same word. He was chosen, he received that opportunity by lots, by casting of lots. It was by divine will that God had chosen Zechariah to be high priest at that particular year. And the same is here, the same word is being used. It is by divine will that you have obtained a faith. It is God's decision to give you faith. Today we're sitting here on these lovely chairs here in Golden Peacock, sitting, listening to the word being preached. We may have faith in God today. But that faith, I want you to be very sure of today, is something that God gave you. It's something that by God's will, you are seated here today. From wherever you've come today, from as far as you've been traveling to get here today, from whatever journey you've been through to get faith, just know it's God and it's His will that have granted you that faith. Like these people that Peter was writing to in the book of 2 Peter, he is saying, those of you who have obtained this faith, you have received this faith by God's will. But look at also how he describes that faith. It's a faith of equal standing. It's a faith of equal standing with ours. You know, Peter is trying to say to these people to whom he's writing, saying your faith is not of any less value than ours as apostles. We are the apostles, yes. We proclaimed Jesus to you. Yes, you received. But your faith is not second grade to ours. We've got the same faith. We're trusting in the same God. We received the same faith ourselves. All Christians everywhere. The faith that we have is a gift from God, and it's equal. We can't say that Doc is got a better faith than mine or than Benice's because of the age difference or the study difference or he's the rector in our church. No, it's the same faith. Faith in Jesus. Faith in what Jesus has done. Each one of us, no matter where we come from, need a Savior. And Jesus is the only Savior. And God gives us faith so that we can believe that Savior. And that verse goes on to describe the same thing. Look at that verse with me. And to those who have obtained a faith, you have obtained it by God's divine will. It's a faith of equal standing. It's the same faith with all believers all around the world who trust in Jesus. How did this faith come about? By the righteousness of God. When I first read that phrase, I was asking myself, how is it possible that we can receive faith by God's righteousness? How do those two ideas link? And it's really, really fascinating when you look at it, right? By God's righteousness. By God's righteousness, we receive a faith. Now, that word righteousness actually is a word which also can be translated justice. It's got the same connotation. By God's justice, we've received this faith. But if I think of justice and what I deserve as a sinner, I don't deserve faith. I don't deserve a gift. I don't deserve grace. I deserve punishment. I deserve judgment. I deserve death. I deserve separation from God because of what I have done. How is it that by God's justice, by God's righteousness, you can have faith? How is that possible? If God is just, He must punish sin. He cannot let sinners go free. He must punish sin. How can God's righteousness allow a sinner like me to get off from punishment and have all God's riches? It's at Christ's expense. Because it's the divine justice of God His wrath and anger was satisfied at the cross at Calvary, where judgment was served, punishment was given, but not to you or me. It was given to Jesus. And it's through that righteous act of God on the cross, that judgment, that's how we can receive and obtain a faith. Through the righteousness of God. Faith received by God's righteous act. I also not only receive faith because of God's righteousness, because of God's justice, I receive a right standing. I am now looked upon by God as righteous. It's like a paradox. How can that be? I receive God's righteousness, the righteousness of Christ. This is what we call imputed righteousness. I receive the righteousness of Christ, and I am seen by God as in right standing before Him, even though I don't deserve it, because God's justice has been satisfied on the cross of Calvary. This is a beautiful verse, this first opening verse, which introduces to us the readers of this book, the first readers, to those who have obtained a faith. They've received it by divine will, of equal standing with all Christians all around the world. They've received this faith from God by His righteousness. Brothers and sisters, I want to encourage you today. I want to encourage you today. These readers, like you who are reading this book today, we have received this faith by God's righteousness. His justice served and delivered upon Jesus means that I have God's righteousness as one of His children standing before Him. So this is where the readers grew in grace and knowledge. I want us to see that these readers obtained the faith. They started believing, just like Peter started believing, just like you started believing. But I want you to see in verse number 2, actually, that this is not the end of the journey. Growth is needed. May grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of our Lord Jesus Christ. May grace and peace be multiplied. So Peter is writing to these people who have received the faith, but he wants them to understand that this is not the end of the journey. This is something that needs to grow. May grace and peace be multiplied to you. This is not just a blessing. If he stopped that blessing like that, may grace and peace be multiplied to you, then we'll say, okay, this is something that's going to happen to you. It's going to happen to you. And the verb itself is passive. May it be multiplied to you. May it happen to you. Not you multiply grace and peace. No, it will be multiplied to you. Okay? This is a blessing. Isn't it wonderful that grace and peace can multiply? And we can experience more and more grace and peace. That'd be lovely, right? But how is this to be multiplied? Look there at the end of the verse. It's multiplied to you in the knowledge. In the knowledge of God. Wow. Okay. So that means that I need to apply myself to know God more. And as I apply myself to knowing God more, something else will happen. Grace and peace will be multiplied. What's grace? Well, grace is God's riches at Christ's expense. That will be multiplying to you as you spend time knowing God more. In the knowledge of God, in the knowledge of God, grace and peace is multiplied. As we saw in the beginning, as we started, so much of God's grace has already been given to us. God's given us faith. Verse 3 tells us He's given us all things that pertain to life and godliness. Even look at verse 3 again. Just look there at verse 3. I've just read there. All things that pertain to life and godliness have been granted to you. How? through the knowledge of Him. That's how we get grace. That's how we get all this goodness, is through the knowledge of God. And verse 4 tells us that through this, we even become partakers in His divine nature. Brothers and sisters, the grace that God has lavished upon us is already so astounding, and so much goodness He's given to us. And yet there's more. There is more. May it be multiplied to you. May it be multiplied even to us today. Let us grow. Let us grow in our grace. Let us grow in our knowledge of God. Just like Simon Peter grew, just like these readers that we've read, and we're going to continue to encounter the way the readers grew as we continue through our series. Not today, but as the weeks progress, we will see how the readers grew. But we have a responsibility also to grow. God wants to give you more grace. God has more grace and peace to offer you. May it be multiplied to you and to me. But the way it's going to be multiplied is through our knowledge of God. And this is one of Peter's key themes in this book. Grow in the knowledge of Jesus. Grow in the knowledge of God. Grow in the knowledge of Jesus as God. Remember that this is a time in history where people worship God as one God. As one God. And now people are claiming that Jesus is God. This is a big change for people. And we can see right here in verse 2, grow in grace and peace, or may grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. The way this is structured in the Greek, as well as in verse 1, look at the end of verse 1. By the righteousness of our God and Savior, Jesus Christ. These two phrases that follow each other so closely, in the way that the Greek is structured here, there's no other way to understand this other than that Jesus is God. Jesus is God. He is our Savior. He is our God. He is our Lord. And this is what Peter wants us to understand today. Grow in our knowledge that Jesus is God. Jesus is Savior. We receive grace and peace and faith from Jesus through the righteousness of Jesus, through what He's done on the cross. And this is very important that as we start the series in Peter, we all start on the same page. We all receive the same faith, equal. But it's not just what we've received and now we've finished and just enjoy it. No, we have a responsibility to grow. We must grow in our knowledge, grow in grace, grow in peace. As I close, I want to remind you of the question I asked you when we first started this morning. Have you ever felt yourself wishing that God would reveal more of Himself to you? Have you ever felt yourself wishing that you would experience God's presence more closely? That's a good thing to wish for. That's a good thing to wish for. But please let me encourage you this morning, as we've seen in the book of 1 Peter, God wants to give you that. And God has given us His word, which reveals knowledge about who He is, about Jesus. And if you want God to reveal more of Himself to you, spend more time in His word. Spend more time reading. Spend more time getting to know Him. I'm very encouraged by the growth groups that are growing. That's a good place to spend time getting to know God through His word. I'm very encouraged by our explore groups, which are also growing and getting more and more people interested in the explore course. This is a wonderful way in which you can grow in your knowledge of God through His word. You want to experience a closer walk with Jesus? Well, spend time in His word. Spend time reading His Word and you will get to know Him more and you will grow in grace more. This is what the Lord wants us to do. He wants us to grow. He wants to multiply grace to you, peace to you. But you also have a responsibility. That is to grow in your knowledge. God has given you so much. Grow in your knowledge of Jesus through immersing yourself in His Word. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much that you have given us faith as a gift, that we may believe in you. Father, thank you so much for your righteous act, which brought punishment not on us, but on Jesus, and granted us a right standing before you. Thank you for the righteousness which you give us. Father, thank you so much for the abundant blessings that we enjoy because of Jesus, your riches at Christ's expense. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for peace that we enjoy. And yet, Father, we also thank you for your word. Your word, which is your revelation of yourself to us people. Thank you that you want to be known. And that's why you give us your word. Father, please help us to grow. Help us to grow in our knowledge of you through studying your word, through immersing ourselves in your word. Help us to grow in our grace, the grace which you have to offer to us, that you want to multiply to us, Lord. May we grow in that grace and grow in our knowledge of you through your word. Please help us with this, Lord. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.